The title of this lesson is A Better Church Began With Whom? And we all are supposed to be servants of the Lord. And we are supposed to be trying to do His will. And so the church is a very important thing. And so we want to look at some things on how we can make the church of the Lord, I won't say better, but how we can do better. If one wants a better home, then we must all be better family members of that home. If one wants a better government, then we have to be better citizens. Anything is only as good as the total of its part. And I think we all can understand that. And if all the parts that make up the whole are good and reliable, then the whole itself is good and reliable. And that is in anything. We also know this, that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. So, if we want a better church, then we must be better church members. And being a member of the church is a responsibility that we all must do. And I think sometimes that we don't do these things out of the fact that we don't want to. I believe we just don't understand what it's all about. Because we've all been brought up in different ways, and we've all been taught on what is important. But we need to focus in on what the Lord says is important. What is our function? And the scripture that was read to us, from whom the whole body joined and knit together, by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That word in this particular verse, that effective working, is this, the ability of all the parts together, each one contributing their best, since the members do not all have the same talents. Now, one of the things that I've found out in my life is that all of us, no matter who we are, we're quick to criticize. We're so quick. If it ain't going the way we want, we go say something. That is a good thing to a point. But is it edifying? Is it building up? Because you're quick with the lips. If you see that things can work well, better, there is a way in which we can do it that's going to have a better outcome. Sometimes we all are quick to just shoot off our mouths and not think about the consequences of what's going to happen. And so when each part of this process is observed, it will result in the increase or the growth of the body. If we do things properly, the church is going to be built up. And that's what it's all about. And when the church is built up, that shows our love for the head and for one another. Now, some of you know some of my background, the way I was. I used to say things and people say, well, you shouldn't say that. I used to say, I hate people. I didn't really like people because people didn't do things that I saw that should be done, not just for me, but just for the goodness of doing things. And so I didn't want to have nothing to do with people. You could not hurt me because I would not let you hurt me. I'd keep you at a distance. But when I became a Christian and saw the teaching of Jesus, I had a change of heart and a change of attitude. I had to love people because God says we have to love one another. And he taught that through his scriptures, love one another. And you know, that should be the easiest thing to do, is love one another. But it's difficult because we don't allow people to love us. We cause them to not want to be near us. And we are supposed to be Christians. We have to have a change of attitude. And the Bible teaches that. And when we have a change of attitude, that we want to work together for the King, everything will fall into place. But until then, we're fighting one another. If every Christian would consider God and one another better than himself in all things. And that was a scripture that stood out to me that I thought was truly profound. It says, I am to treat you better than myself. Now, who wants to treat themselves bad? Do we want to treat others better than ourselves? That's not in our vocabulary. But God said, that's what we got to do. We got to love one another better than ourselves. And if we all do that, then we can make this congregation a better congregation, because we're going to go out and work. We need to remember that Jesus died for the church, and he only wants the best. And in the body of Christ, we are supposed to be the best. But if you notice the letters that are written to the churches, those are some heavy things he's telling the members to do. And sometimes we pay attention. So, we must be the best that we can be, and that will make the church be the best that she can be. Because if we're not the best, then this congregation is not going to be the best. If this congregation is going to be better, a better congregation, a worker for the Lord, then each one of us must realize our importance. Because everyone in here is important to the Lord. We are that body that's fit together to do the Lord's work. There is nobody in here that's less than anybody else. But sometimes that's the attitude we have, that they're less than me. No, we're all the same. But we all have different abilities, and we should use those abilities to serve God. Now, I have this thing, especially with the men. We have a job to do. We got to serve God. We all got to take part in serving God. But a lot of times men will say, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. Okay, that's fine. But if you look at the careers of each one of us, what we have done in the outside world. We have been high up on the hill. And when it comes to doing something for the Lord, I can't do that. I got a problem with that. Because all we do is use God's word and be familiar with it and tell people and know how to treat people. But when you say, I can't do that, I got a problem. Now, like I said, we all got talents. We all can do something. Try to find out what you can do for the Lord and be the best at it. Not everyone can do everything. But you know, there's nothing wrong with trying. You may like it. But to say, I can't do it, there's a problem. The parable of the talents in Matthew 25, we find that there's three servants. Two of them were given five. Actually, one was given five and one was given two. And then the third, of course, was given one. And we know that the one that had the five and the two, they used what they were given to the glory of God. What their abilities was, they went out there and they did it because God was the focus. But that one talent man, he says, I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. There's a problem, folks, when you don't use your talents for the Lord, the outcome may be like that one talent individual. And none of us want to see that. To the five and the two talent servants, the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servants. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Matthew 25, 21 through 23. They did what they were capable of doing. Now, the one talent guy, he had a problem. And starting with verse 26, it tells us about his problem. His Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not sown. You ought therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which has 10 talents. For to everyone that has shall be given, and he shall have abundant. But from him that has not shall be taken away, even that which he has. And he cast you, the unprofitable servant, into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I've thought about that for a long time. And I would tell people from time to time that, you know, God has a sense of humor. He really does. He has a sense of humor. You jump out there and says, I want to be a worker for the Lord. And you start working for the Lord. And he keeps piling it on you. And piling it on you. And piling it on you. Because you said, I want to be a worker. He's going to say, let's see. Are you going to live up to what you're saying? Or are you just saying it to be seen of men? Because if you are a worker for the Lord, he's going to give it to you. But if you're that slacker, not much is going to come your way. And that should tell you something. That should tell you something. How come God gives to this one and he can do this and he can do that and I ain't got nothing. I ain't growing. Why? Because maybe you don't want to grow. Because if you don't want to grow, you're not going to go to heaven. That's the bottom line. But if you grow and you do the work of the Lord can depend on you. And also the members. The Lord is depending on each member of this congregation to do our part to serve him. And that serving him is not just coming here on Sunday and Wednesday. That means we go out into the world and look for opportunities to teach them Jesus so they can obey the gospel and be added to the church. We talk about we want this congregation to grow. But what are you doing to help it? Is there anybody that you have found that you're going to spend the time to teach the gospel to? We just can't expect people to walk in that door and say, hey, I want to be a Christian. You got to go out and teach. And if we all do that, and if we all rally around those that are doing it, and to see what we can do to help them, then possibly this congregation will grow and function the way it ought. But if we lay back and says, I wish it would grow, it ain't going nowhere. It can't be done by one person or two persons. It has to be done by everybody. And we need to remember the things that we are doing is going in a record book. If you're lazy, it's going in a record book. If you're not going out there doing what you can do, it's going to come back to haunt you. Now, I'm going to read a scripture, and like I said earlier, that the books in the Bible are written to churches, telling the congregations how to behave, what they ought to do, and you would think the things that Paul is telling the congregation, he shouldn't have to say that to the churches. He should have to say that to people on the outside world, the people that are sinners. But he's saying it to the church because in the church we have people that came out of the world, but they haven't gotten rid of the world. There's things that we're still carrying, and he's trying to tell us to get rid of it. And then we could be a better person. So, if we want this congregation here to grow or be a better one, we have to do something for the congregation. We have to start with ourselves. And this is just a preview of the scripture that will be read here. We must be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving, and ready to help others. Now, you would say, now, why in the world would Cookie say that? I'm kind. I'm tenderhearted. I forgive people. Well, maybe you do. Then you're doing what God wants. But Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus, and he's telling them the same thing. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Ephesians 4:31-32. another scripture that is written to the church. Brothers, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. We must help the congregation by building her up instead of tearing her down and criticizing what she's trying to do. Now, we know the work of the church, and that's spread the gospel. Our biggest argument should be how and who is going to do it. We should be fighting one another to say, I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it. But it's like pulling teeth to get people to do anything. It shouldn't be that way. We are serving God. He came down here to save us. He's shown us the way. It's not a mystery. It's not a mystery. What should I do? He has given us the roadmap. And he says, follow it. But we say, no, that's too difficult. I just don't know how to do that. One of the things that I found as a Christian, I used to be in awe at the people that stood up here and spoke, the preachers. Because sometimes they kind of tell you, only I can do it. Only I am the one that can teach. You can't. In some religions, you got lay people. Lay people, they can't do nothing. But in the Lord's body, we all can do. None of us is exempt. We all can do. And so one of the best ways that we can help this congregation is by guarding our daily lives. What you do when you leave here has a very important factor on that world. That world will look at you and say, you are a Christian? Or you are a Christian by the things you do, by the things you say. And when we do the wrong things, we bring shame and reproach upon each member here in this congregation. And I believe all of us have seen people in which profess to be Christians, and the way they act, people don't want nothing to do with them. And so when you come along and you try to say something, they're going to lump you with everybody else. And you know, sometimes when people say, well, all you Christians are the same. I said, that's right, we are. We're stupid. We're ignorant. And we don't follow God's word. Now, if we follow God's word, then we will do what he says, and we will follow him. But the people that are doing the things that they're doing, they are not following the teachings of Christ. And when you don't follow the teachings of Christ, you're going to be like everybody else in this world. Ephesians 5:15 tells us this. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That word circumspectly means we are to walk diligently. We are to take special care in what we are doing outside. Because, you know, when we are here, we're not going to do anything that's wrong because we're among the family. But when we go outside and the family is not there, then sometimes we drop our guards. Or we just don't care. For example, there was a guy that came to our house the other day, and he said that he was a Christian that needed work, and of course he did, and his language verified that he really wasn't or didn't understand that a Christian is not supposed to speak this way. But basically in his job, that's really how the world is. And what he didn't understand is because the world is that way, he should not be that way. He should set a good example to those he come in contact with. But he comes in contact with very nasty people. Some jobs is difficult, but we still are supposed to behave like a Christian if we are. We are to guard ourselves against temptations. We are to live the way the Bible says we should. If we want this congregation to be better, then we must invite people here for Bible studies, for lessons. But really, the best thing to do is invite them to your home and study with them. Because it's in the home where you have options and how you can teach and what it is and where you can go. Here, if somebody comes, they're going to hear what the guy standing up here has to say. And sometimes what the guy has to say up here is not what they want to hear. So that's not going to help. But if you can gain the confidence of people and invite them to your home and share with them Jesus, and their hearts are right, then the Lord will add them to his church. And that's one more for the Lord, and one more that the devil has lost. The Christian life is the best and the most rewarding life that one could live. You know, there's two ways in which to get out of this world, alive or dead. If you get out of this world dead, you've lost it all. But if you get out of it alive by obeying the gospel, by becoming a member of the family of God the way he said, then you have life eternal and everything is going to be good. But if you go out the other way, you have a life of disaster, separated from God. The Bible gives us a view of what the hereafter for those who are wicked is going to be, what it's going to be about. But that's just something that we can wrap our minds around. The Bible tells us a lake of fire, weeping and gnashing of teeth, darkness. But it's going to be worse. It's going to be worse. And so you need to teach people that you don't want to be lost. You don't want to cross God. You don't want to be on that other end where he says, "Be gone from me, I know you not." That's what we have to teach people. And if they do it and obey it, they will be added to his body and the congregation will grow by one. Doing good things should be natural. It should be natural. It should be It's like breathing. Have you thought about having to breathe here in the last couple of seconds? It's automatic. It's happening without you thinking. Being good should be that way. Because when God created man, he said it was good. But man became corrupt. And so we have to make sure our lives are not that way. And when we teach others that they can change from being a sinner to a Christian. The good life of the world is not the good life of a Christian. The good life of a Christian is knowing that if I am obedient to the end, I have eternal life. The Christian is blessed spiritually, and sometimes we are blessed with material. But the main thing is, it is the spiritual aspect that we should be concerned with. And we have so many blessings, you can't count them. It's just like that song, Count Your Blessings. When we bring others to the Lord, or when we are helping family members, to understand that God has provided blessing for those who are in Christ. And you know, it's hard telling people that if you're outside of Christ, you have no hope. But it's not me saying it. It's not you saying it. It's God saying it. God is saying, without him, you have no hope. In Ephesians 1:3, God says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It has to be done in Christ, according to Christ, not the way you think it means. And these are some hard sayings when you're trying to teach people. The study that with Rufus is going well. And I can see his mind is turning. And I'm hitting him with every hard rock I can. If he does not obey the gospel, when he comes before God, all he has to say to God is, just sentence me, because I know the truth, but I just didn't want to obey. And that's what we got to do. We got to teach the truth because it's God saying it. You know, when God says, if you reject me or my words, my words is going to reject you. It's going to judge you. It's not me. It's God. People don't know that. So, the congregation that grows is the congregation that is truly concerned with the spiritual welfare of others. Now, I'm going to give you my point of view. And you don't have to agree with it, because it's my point of view. I've been a Christian for many years, and we had many gospel meetings. And we say the gospel meetings, we want to bring people in, because this is going to help them to understand what's going on. And all the times that I've been a Christian and we're having gospel meetings, not many people have obeyed the gospel from the gospel meetings. But you know, I got something out of every last one of them, and I went out and used every last one that was spoken to me. And I repeat things from every last one of them when I talk to people. The gospel meetings, really, from my point of view, is for us, to get us motivated to go out and to teach others. Where you're going to get people is at your house, at their house, when you can talk. Now, there may be some that comes in and it works from here. But for the most part, no. Gospel meetings is good to edify us, to get us motivated with a new idea, how can I teach people? Because if we're concerned about the spiritual welfare of others, we want to learn as much as we can to tell people. And when somebody says something that's not in the Bible, we have to have the courage to say, that's not what the Bible teaches. And when we do those things, I believe we're going to grow and the church is going to grow. It is the congregation that will show her love for others by showing them the many wonderful blessings that are in Christ. You know, I'm finding that with my study with Rufus, that there's a lot of things that I've never seen before because I never took the time to study them. But I'm doing it now. And it's helping me. It's giving me confidence that I should have had a long time ago. But I didn't. But I do now. And I'm trying to share that same thing with you. When you get in the Bible and you know what the Bible says, then you truly can say you can be bold for the cause of Christ. Because if you don't know what you're talking about, you're not going to talk up. And you don't have to be pig-headed or anything like that. Just says, show me in the Bible. Or show them in the Bible what they're not doing. And it's all about attitude. The time to begin building a better church is now. We must become one in our endeavors. We must share the same mind, the same judgment, and the same purpose. Because that's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. We all should be saying the same thing when it comes to how to become a Christian, how to live, because we're saying what the Bible says. Let us go hand in hand with one another. Let us join together to that march to glory. Because in all honesty, I don't want to see anyone in here to fail. Because according to what the Bible teaches, to fail is not going to be good for you. And I don't want to fail. There's something that I used to say a long time ago, and I will continue to say it. I will do everything in my power to help you get to heaven. But if I'm the only one to go to heaven, I will be happy. I'm going to be happy. But I want everybody to go. I want the world to go. But I know from God's word, all the world is not going to go because he gives us scriptures upon scriptures upon scriptures that everyone is not going to go to heaven. And you need to tell people, not everyone is going to heaven. The last scripture is Acts 20 and 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. The word of God is what's going to save our soul if we believe. Our job is to put it in our lives and make this congregation here at Ashley Heights a great congregation from the aspect that we are doing the will of God. You know, we may never grow any more than what we got here, but we need to grow spiritually. We need to go out and search. We can't help if nobody wants to hear us, but we got to put forth the effort to go out there to share the gospel. And we got to build one another up. We got to edify. Give ideas. Have you thought of this? Here's something that I read. Share it with somebody. We got to do that. It's all up to you. It's all up to me. And like I said, I'm going to try everything in my power to get to heaven. I will help you to go. But if you don't want to go, I'm not going to drag you. Think about this. God sent his son to die. He gave to the world what to do. It's now up to the world to do it. He's not going to change anymore. He's not going to make a special trip for you. We all get there doing the same thing. And if you fail, one more scripture comes to mind. We talked about the rich man and Lazarus yesterday. And if you remember, Abraham said there is a great gulf that separates. Nobody can go from side to side. But an interesting point, I believe, is that the people in torment, such as that man, saw over there, and he saw Abraham. He saw Lazarus. And I would imagine that everybody was on this side saw people over there. But the people on that side, they didn't see nothing. And I believe God did that on purpose. Why, if you're in Abraham's bosom, because you've done right, that you got to look over there and see loved ones and friends that are in torment. That will mess your mind up. But God is not a God that's going to let you see those things. When we get to heaven, he's not going to let us have a mind of what it was all about when we were humans. That's not what it's all about. Now is the time to think about, do I want to be in torment for the rest of eternity? Or do I want to be with God, serving him? But it starts right here, doing what we know that we should do. And if you don't do it, you're telling God, sorry, I got better things to do. We are a special breed of people because we've obeyed God. And we got to stay faithful until the end. The lesson is yours. If there's any need of the congregation, please make it known as we stand and sing.